I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News Dr. Rachel Horncastle. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you, Michael. Lovely to be here.
Well, we're meeting just outside the state seat of Cottesloe, for which you are a declared candidate. We're in the west end of Fremantle. Not far, though, from where the seat of Cottesloe and Fremantle intersect in North Fremantle.
That's exactly right. And I'm so glad you brought that up early in this piece, Michael, because a lot of people don't understand that North Fremantle is in fact in the Cottesloe electorate. So for state, they do have an independent candidate. There are a number of people I've spoken to in North Fremantle that were disappointed they couldn't vote for Kate Chaney with the federal election in 2022. So they are now, a lot of them, very excited to be able to have another option and to be able to vote independent.
Well, occasionally, people, I think, want to leave Fremantle when they live in North Fremantle and join Mosman Park when they get grumpy about something. Or once upon a time, of course, North Fremantle had its own municipal government. But there we go, back in the early 20th century.
Yeah, times have changed, haven't they?
Haven't they? But it's a beautiful electorate you've got, particularly on the south side, going down to Leighton, North Fremantle, Beaches.
Oh, yeah, it really is stunning. We're so lucky to be living in that area. Personally, I live in Mosman Park, but I actually cycle to work through Mosman Park down to the river and then along through Fremantle up Wall Street. It's a pretty steep hill, that one.
Easier on an electric bike, Rachel.
Yes.
But you don't have one, I'm sure.
Not at all. And yes, and then I cross the river into East Fremantle, which is where I practice as a GP and have been practicing for, 26 years in March.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Shipping News is 8 in April. Now, tell me, you've started to indicate a little bit about your own background. Tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself.
Thank you. I'm originally English. You may be able to tell from the accent. I was actually born in Leicester in the UK, where I used to talk like that. I was called Rachel Horncastle, but we moved to Hampshire when I was 8 or 9, and my surname changed to Horncastle. And then 30 years ago, I came out for a year and haven't gone back.
You on your own.
I actually did come out with my boyfriend, who is now my husband.
Left the family behind in Hampshire.
Yes, I did. And obviously I do go back when I can to see them, and they come over here and they love it. They love to come in the English winter and enjoy the sunshine here.
And you practice medicine?
I practice medicine.
GP?
Yes, I've been a doctor for 32 years. My father was a probation officer, my mother was a teacher. And my father, his catchphrase was always, "What can I do to help?" And
more pocket money, Dad.
Yes, absolutely. My mum would say the washing up and I would say pocket money. He was then a lecturer in sociology and criminology, and he was a professional mediator in family court. He was the chairman of the local area bereavement society, a mentor for troubled youth. He played the organ, ran a choir. He was one of those people that just did so much for the community and was an inspiration for me.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Mm. Speaking about music, We walked into the old customer's house just after we met a little earlier, and we spotted a piano in the wonderful atrium area, and you went and played it.
Well,
how long have you been playing the piano?
Intermittently for the last 10 years or so. I didn't learn as a child. I learned the violin. When I was practicing the violin, I have to say my family always used to leave and take the dog for a walk. Can't imagine why that was.
Same reason mine took the dog for a walk when I started playing the violin, I think.
Oh, you love the violin too. Awesome. It's a beautiful instrument.
It's the most beautiful.
When played well.
When played well.
Yes.
And now you're standing as a Voices for Cottesloe candidate. Fremantle has a Voices for Cottesloe candidate,
yes,
Kate Hewlett. And there's another who I haven't met, I think, in Church Lanes.
Yes. And Nedlands.
And Nedlands.
Baz and Dean. And
oh
Michael,
my goodness.
This is very exciting for me. I just think there is an independent movement now. It's a rising tide, if you like, a teal tsunami of people who have been asked to stand. They have no political ambition per se, but they've been asked to stand by community groups, each of them, and they are allowed to represent their community purely with no vested interests putting pressure on them. And there's absolute transparency for each independent candidate. I know this for a fact. For example, on my website, if you choose to go there, Michael.
I'll make sure it's included.
Thank you. RachelHorncastle.com.au. You will see that every donation made to the campaign is declared in real time.
You'll see real time. Oh, well, that's amazing.
And the amount. You'll see that my son donated $80, for example.
Oh.
And you'll see that Climate 200 donated some money too. Yeah.
Well.
And I was really excited to be a recipient of the money from Climate 200 because their pillars really align with mine. They will only donate money to political candidates who adhere to integrity in politics, who promote the respect and safety of women, and who, they back science-based climate action. So those are their three pillars, and they are certainly very aligned with what I care about and what I wish to promote for my community, and which my community are also passionate about. Over 70% of people who are interviewed and who fill out surveys about the environment, for example, care very much about it. Some surveys even 80 to 90%, depending on the wording. And if we don't have a healthy physical environment, we can't be healthy humans. I strongly believe that, and I see it all the time. Mental health and well-being are other areas that's another area that I'm very passionate about. And if you don't mind me just continuing to talk, Mike, without letting me get a word in edgeways at this point.
No, it's good to hear you talking about what's motivating you.
Yeah, well, obviously as a GP, I've seen lots of mental health issues over the years, and there really has been such a surge of problems in teenagers, in young people. And part of that is climate anxiety. Part of it is the fact that they feel that older people aren't making the right decisions for their future.
Mm.
And part of it is actually screen time and social media. And I think most people are aware now of the harms that social media do, the harms that can come from using too much social media. And obviously Anthony Albanese has also embraced this, and he is planning legislation to outlaw social media use by children under the age of 16. Now that legislation is going to take a while to come in, and then it's going to be quite tricky to police. I'm not sure that they've thrashed those details out yet.
They're the hard bits, but the concept is still important, emblematic, makes parents think about it.
Exactly, and it has started those conversations in families where perhaps they weren't having the conversations previously. But there's something that I'm promoting, and that's an organisation called Wait Mate. And I'd love for your listeners to remember that phrase, Wait Mate. Wait spelled W-A-I-T, Mate, M-A-T-E. And there's a website that they can go to, again, just waitmate.com.au. And on that website, there is lots of information, but there's the ability for parents to make a pledge not to give their child, and we're kind of really aiming at primary school age children here, not to give their child a smartphone until at least year 7. There's also a year 8, a year 9, and recently has landed a year 10 option. Mm. So they make that pledge, which helps them remain strong when their child may be pestering them for it. But also, it does allow them to link with other parents who are also feeling the same way. So they can reassure that child that when they go to high school, they won't be the only one
without a
smartphone.
A support group, almost.
Yes.
But it's good for the kids to know they're not alone in all of this.
Absolutely.
Now, we'll come back to what independent candidates can do in a parliament, particularly if the state parliament continued, for example, we dominated, get that out, by the Labor Party, and they formed the government.
Mm.
But what's motivated you to run now?
Well, I was asked.
Yes, so you had to think about it.
I did.
You had to decide. So why did you decide you should?
I didn't have any political ambition per se, but you know, I love my job. I have the most delightful patients, fantastic colleagues, and a great team. But increasingly over the last few years, although I know on a day-to-day basis with those individual patients I am making a difference, I really have felt frustrated by what I see as bad decisions being made in state government and federal government for that matter. Decisions that I felt that weren't made for the community, for the population. And yes, I suppose I've been a couch complainer. And when I was asked, I did reflect on it for quite a while, but I thought this is an opportunity that I've been given to make more of a difference. I have two kids, and I care very much about their future, and I care very much about my community, and feel that I can be a voice for them in Parliament.
And at this stage, what sort of feeling are you getting in Cottesloe?
So, when you say Cottesloe, I think sometimes people feel that that means just the suburb of Cottesloe.
Napoleon Street, and,
yeah,
and the,
exactly.
Only the people who are having their coffee.
Yes, that's yes. Right. And it, of course, you and I both know it's not. It's from North Fremantle, stretching up to City Beach South, and also into Mount Claremont, part of Claremont, Swanbourne, Mossman Park. And so that the feel that I get, I must say, with door knocking is very, very positive towards an independent. A lot of people are quite disillusioned with the two-party system. I think we all know that there are some very decent people in Parliament on both sides, but they are stymied by having to toe the party line. And I think everybody knows now as well that there are vested interests that put pressure on them in terms of legislation, as well as that election focus. Instead of focusing on creating great legislation for communities, for the country, for the state, there's that focus on what do I need to do just to get re-elected, and money being spent at election time, it just feels wrong, and I've always wanted to do things right.
So, coming to that big question, which I think it's thrown at every independent candidate, whether they're one chosen by a Voices for an electorate process or because they want to run, if you got elected,
yes,
how do you achieve an impact? How do you achieve the sort of outcomes you'd like to see in place?
Mm. Well, yeah, that's right. That is a question that every independent is asked, and there are a number of answers. First of all, it's being an advocate for the community and an advocate that has no pressure placed on them by external sources. It's being able to genuinely represent the community, genuinely listening to the community and putting forward the issues that matter. And somebody in a party is much less able to do that. We as a crossbench, for example, we can really hold governments to account, parties to account. We can be the sensible centre, if you like. And that is something that I'm really looking forward to being able to do for my community.
Would there be any one or two or three particular focuses for you if elected?
Yes. The community, the Cottesloe Community Independent Group that asked me to stand, they were doing a number of surveys, conducting a number of surveys and coffee morning catch-ups for months before they approached me to stand. And they found that there were three main areas of concern for the local community. First of all, it was sustainable development, and that is development with a genuine consultation process where the local community, and particularly the neighbours that are going to be impacted most, where they are listened to, and where those things that are brought up by the community are acted upon. So sustainable development with green spaces, with plenty of mature trees. And secondly, health, public health and mental health being a major part of that. And obviously that's an area that I have a particular interest in and quite a lot of experience in. And thirdly, the environment and climate. People are very concerned about those two issues. So those are the three areas that I will be focusing on first, but there are lots of things that I'd like to achieve.
The sustainable development issue, the first one you mentioned,
yes,
has become something of a, not just western suburbs in a narrow sense, but quite an issue, certainly right through the electorate of Cottesloe, right in Fremantle, East Fremantle.
Yes.
You get some very large developments, and local communities seem to be saying, this has all been done without really asking us or asking how this will impact upon us. Are they the sorts of backgrounders giving rise to this policy?
Absolutely, Michael, absolutely. There are a number of developments that have already gone up that you will see, high rises around the place, and several more that have already been approved. And the local council, you may know, have their powers have been stripped away from them initially by a Liberal government, but that has actually been progressed by Labour. And local councils feel completely powerless now in the face of these developments that the local communities do not want. Everybody knows there is a housing crisis. We need more accommodation, but it needs to be done with community consultation. It needs to be done sensibly, medium rise, medium density, with green spaces that are perhaps central. Like Europe, there are so many good examples in Europe where there is density of accommodation, plenty of housing, but there's a beautiful village feel and plenty of trees that have been preserved, and more trees and more greenery, bush planted.
Now, one thing I'm interested about as well to ask you is, as a local community candidate, if elected, you'll be representing the electorate you've described,
yes.
South City Beach, across from Mount Claremont, Claremont, across to the water, the river, right down, taking in North Fremantle, across through Leighton, lovely, lovely territory. Would you sort of be meeting regularly with people who wanted to come along and tell you their views? Would you be forming some sort of plebiscite action group? How do you inform yourself if you go into Parliament to vote on anything or to make representations
yes,
to the government?
Yes, and that's a fantastic question, Michael. And I have to say, I love what Kate Cheney has been doing with her Canberra debriefs and her community catch-ups. And that, obviously I'm not going to be doing Canberra debriefs, but I would love to be doing State Parliament debriefs and community catch-ups. And that's certainly what I aim to do, along with forums where I get experts and members of the community, where we have those sometimes challenging conversations, but where we can come to a solution for various problems by bringing, as I say, experts together. In medicine, the gold standard of care is shortened to EBM, and that's evidence-based medicine. And for me, it's EBM with a dose of compassion, a hefty dose of compassion. And I like the idea of EBP for how I'm going to practice, evidence-based politics. Again, with compassion, but with that genuine community consultation where I will be listening to the concerns of my constituents and coming up with great and progressive ideas for making our community a better place for all.
We all know the election's on the 8th of March.
Yes.
It's now legislated for, which I hadn't realised till this campaign season opened. We still don't know when the federal ones are going to be, but we'll find out soon enough.
Yes.
You're obviously into your campaign, launched down at the Orange Box, which I just love, at Leighton, early December.
Yeah,
and obviously you're out there running. Have you got other things, big things planned between now and the election?
Oh, thank you for asking, Michael. Well, actually, this coming Sunday, if anybody wants to meet me and have a chat, eat some home baked goods and listen to our fabulous DJ,
You're not playing the piano?
I'm not. You know, there are parts of Europe where there are pianos in parks and on streets, and I love that idea, but that hasn't really taken on here yet. but no, we'll have a DJ, and that's Claremont Park where we'll be meeting. At 4 o'clock this coming Sunday, the 2nd. So come on down, guys, and join in the fun. I have so many fantastic volunteers, and we really do enjoy our campaigning, as well as take it very seriously when we need to.
Well, I can see that you do, and we're just drawing to a close now. Enjoy the rest of your campaign. It's probably already changed your life as you knew it.
Absolutely. I had never even posted on Instagram. not even once before this campaign started, Michael. So yes, it's quite different.
Well, I've said to many, I admire people who do choose to stand for public office, and I wish you all the very best in your endeavours.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for chatting today.